Welcome into DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this, the man who brought real terror to Gotham City, Jason.
Hello.
So, howdy, guys. We are going to do a news episode, and we're also going to have, we don't have a whole lot of news, so we're going to do a bunch of fan feedback that we haven't done, because we suck.
Yeah, because we're terrible people. I have nothing. I have no excuse.
Well, I have an excuse.
It We've had a lot of...
We released 4 episodes last week.
Yeah, it's 4 opportunities to have done our damn job that we didn't do. we get no quarter in my mind. We failed. We failed this podcast.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We failed this podcast. Oh, but it actually does. It works out well. It works out well for a news episode where we don't have a lot of news.
Yeah, that was kind of, that was nice. I mean, there were a couple of big things this week, but it wasn't just the smattering. I mean, sometimes it's been like a Bukkake film of news. This is not one of those.
I didn't see anything really incredibly big. If you did, you know, feel free to slip that right in. But
no, we'll see.
We're going to start out, by the way, today, actually, maybe it was yesterday. I guess it was technically yesterday. Maybe it's today. I don't really know.
I think it's today, but it'll be irrelevant by the
today?
Time this is released, because...
Yeah, it'll be irrelevant, but, you know, happy belated Batman Day.
To everyone. Yeah, I mean...
My big Batman thing that I'm doing on Batman Day is recording this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During which, inevitably, we will say Batman several times, so...
So, but to be fair, I mean, for people like us, every day is Batman Day.
Sure. I don't remember the day, the last day, or the first day. Where I didn't think about Batman at some point during that 24 hours.
Yeah, I know. So, September 25th, mm-hmm. by the way, was Mark Hamill's 64th birthday. Mark Hamill, of course, the longest standing and, some would argue, most beloved Joker of all time, mm-hmm. as well as the Trickster on the 90s Flash series, the Trickster on the Justice League, the Trickster in the Lego movie.
Basically anywhere there's ever been a Trickster.
And, you know, Sinestro and... God, he's had a lot of contributions to the... I mean, he was Joker in the Arkham Knight games. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
He's everywhere.
Mark Hamill.
He's just everywhere.
Mark Hamill. So happy damn birthday, dude.
Yeah. The bringer of great joy.
We're happy you're
fear.
Here. We are happy you are here.
Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing. I may not watch a Star Wars movie. We'll see.
I'll watch it.
I probably will.
So, yeah. So Ed Boon has teased that Injustice 2... Mm-hmm. is going to coincide, the release is going to coincide with Batman vs. Superman. And though we have no official report, rumors would have us believe that we're going to get Captain Atom, Vixen, and Black Canary in Injustice 2.
Well, that would be nice. Are they saying this is, you know, so like March of coming year, we're getting Injustice 2?
It looks like April.
Okay, April.
Yeah.
That'll still be right in the middle of the heart of that promotional wave. But,
Oh, yeah.
God, that good stuff, though. I don't know if we ever mentioned Injustice Gods Among Us.
We have. Injustice is one of those games that Jason and I whiled away many hours playing.
Yes, of course. And then got every DLC that was available because, I mean, it was the DLCs were shit like Martian Manhunter. How, you know, fuck you, take my money.
Yeah, yeah. Lobo.
Yeah, yeah. Batgirl.
That's happening.
It was actually weirdly overpowered there for a second. Oh, Hawkgirl was the one who was just weirdly overpowered for a second.
No, it was Batgirl.
Was it Batgirl?
It was Batgirl. She was ridiculous.
That she was. And got every change of costume. There were neat subplots to the movie, by the way. And like we have mentioned it, because Green Arrow was played by Alan Tudyk in the narrative
yep.
of the actual game. Which, by the way, is a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Even the actual comics that came out, I lost track of them. I stopped reading them for a sec after a little while. But actually pretty damn good. They were a lot of fun because they dealt with the major premise was, you know, what would happen if the Joker tricked, you know, Superman into killing Lois? Well,
mm-hmm.
the answer is the world pretty much comes to a standstill. So, fun game. Lots of hours
really
wasted.
Fun.
And I imagine Injustice 2 will be about the same amount of hours wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's gonna have to go on the shelf.
Oh yeah. Now, speaking
hopefully
of
the narrative will be just as good this time.
Oh, I mean, I hope so. I mean, they're still doing the comic.
Yeah. I mean, and so. I like I said, I lost track of where it's going in the comics now. I guess I'll go back and figure that out. But, yeah, they'll likely coincide. It'll probably be a lot of fun. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Now, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about Man of Steel 2. We actually now, finally, have definitive word that Man of Steel 2 is happening. Zack Snyder says that Man of Steel 2 is happening. It's called Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Right. That's full circle. That's what he told us the first time. It was originally called Man of Steel 2, just as a working title. And then that became Batman vs. Superman, and everyone thought this was a different movie. No, it was nothing ever changed. We all got confused.
Well, the internet do lie. The internet do lie.
Well, they don't mean to sometimes. Short of the trolls.
They mean to.
I said short of the trolls.
Clickbait bastards. Now, Jason Momoa was asked if, he was asked about the Aquaman costume, and he says there might be some bit of orange and green, a bit of respect for prior work, but Aquaman is meaner now and upset. Look at what he's done to our, look at what has been done to our oceans. That's what that's his world that's been polluted.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's referring to, what happened in Man of Steel with the world engines, or if this is going to take on more of a Star Trek for the Voyage Home.
It felt more like that one.
Tone.
It felt like it's going to be just an over, how to put this, working on the basis of the general acceptance that the oceans have been damaged by humanity in the last few hundred years.
Well, I mean, I guess in Man of Steel there was, an oil fire?
You know. Got a little Exxon Valdez there for a second, but
yeah.
Well,
so I mean, I won't lie. I figured Aquaman would go this route to some degree.
I don't see how he couldn't. It would be. It's such a touchy topic too. If he didn't do it, if he didn't mention pollution at all, a whole portion of humanity would freak out. And if he mentions it and goes too far with it, another whole portion of humanity is going to freak out.
Yeah, I would love a scene where he just kind of comes up onto land, looks around at all the litter, and goes, oh, well, that makes sense.
Just, oh, at least it's worse up here, assholes.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want an entire movie that's based on Save the Whales.
No, I mean, there are many a platform and many an environment where I'm happy to go watch that movie. This isn't necessarily one of them. I think I've said this before. I don't want that many. I really don't want politics in these movies.
Or
social change of any kind. It's not.
Now, the only way I would want it, I don't mind politics and I don't mind any kind of social, message or anything. But my main concern is that the characters are being done justice, that they're being done well, and that those characters would have that stance. And I believe Aquaman would have that stance.
He actually would.
Stance in the comics.
This is why you can take it pretty far in that direction. And I think you can get right between, but we'll see.
Now, moving on, Jesse Eisenberg, with his nose planted firmly in the air, has claimed that even people who don't normally go see superhero movies will enjoy Batman v Superman, saying it has sophisticated and important themes.
Okay.
I'm missing the part where most of the superhero movies apparently don't have sophisticated and important themes, because I'm pretty sure most of the Marvel movies I've seen have.
Yeah, that's the part where I get a little confused. Well, I mean, the Marvel movies don't make a point of it, I guess.
They'll beat you over the head with it, but it's there.
No, and a lot of the, they've taken largely from the Whedon camp with how they've done the Marvel movies. A lot of the major themes are emotional character interplay. There hasn't been a lot of, allegory, which what we're looking for in BVS is kind of pretty much that, right? We don't know which one's the unbreakable object and which one's the unstoppable force, but a movable object, unstoppable, that one. Yeah. We don't know which one's which yet, but I'm sure they're playing with it. And yeah, it does look like it's pretty sophisticated because it's taking itself very seriously, but I also wonder how many of these movies Jesse's seen.
Yeah, well, maybe I just, from the trailers, missed out on the sophisticated and important nature of American Ultra.
I was too busy going, grappling hook, yay! if it happened in the BVS trailer so far, it's just it. You know, the kid inside me was yelling too loud.
Now, Michael Uslan is coming out and saying that Batman fans can expect big news at the New York Comic Con, which is October 8th through the 11th. So I think we're going to have some big news segments coming up, man.
Which Batman is he referring to at that point? We're talking about Batfleck, right?
He's the film, like he owns the film rights to the Batman franchise.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. I mean,
that's about the right time frame too. What was it? Three, 4 weeks ago. We started hearing three films. Actually, tell me if I'm wrong about this. Just before they started saying we're going to do three films, a few weeks before that, they had already said we're going to give Affleck writing and direction. He's going to write and direct his own Batman 2.
Mm-hmm.
They had already said standalone. Let Affleck handle it. Argo this shit up, buddy. And then just a few weeks after, apparently everyone just got a giant bat boner and started shoveling money at him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what I do. No judgment here. I'm not trying to stop anybody. Give him a fourth. I don't care. but yeah, that's about right for the timing. That's what we can expect on October 8th through 10th. Somewhere in there is real information about those movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling that one.
Now moving on over to television news.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Guggenheim on the 24th. He turned 45. So happy birthday to Mark.
Oh, happy birthday.
Here's some news about Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping with our mandate of not being able to pronounce a damn name, Stephanie Corneliuson, I guess, of Mr. Robot will be coming over to Legends of Tomorrow. She's going to be playing the Soviet physicist Valentina Vostok, or as in the comics known as Negative Woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be a Soviet physicist during the Cold War, who will apparently, quote, stop at nothing to defend her precious motherland. She was...
Soviets were very big on that, apparently, if I'm to believe media.
Hmm?
If I'm to believe the media, like, every Soviet that ever entered or put on a lab coat will die for that nation.
Yeah, but it looks like she's going to be working for Vandal Savage.
What? That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ray Palmer and Captain Cold are going to try to win her trust and then try to figure out where her loyalties really lie. Peter Francis James has been cast as Dr. Aldous Boardman on Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a classics professor at St. Roche, I guess, University.
We're expanding our mispronunciations to institutions now.
Yep.
All right.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea.
Okay, well.
We're terrible at this. Take your best shot, man. I'm not going to do any better.
R-O-C-H. I don't know.
There we go.
Yes. He's devoted his life to researching Shiera, or Hawk Girl,
mm-hmm.
and Prince Khufu, Hawkman, and their link to Vandal Savage. Says that he is the team's only hope of finding Vandal Savage, but he might have a secret, and they're going to insist on taking him on the journey, only to learn the kind of sacrifice it will take to save the world. That sounds like this dude's going to die real quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, wasn't it supposed to be with Hawk Girl? We haven't gotten anything definite about her origin. I think they were going to explore that.
Nope.
And it's going to be Flash that starts her up?
I think so, yeah.
But Hawkman was going to start up on Arrow. Is that correct?
No, he's on Flash. Hawkman might be on Flash, might just show up on Legends of Tomorrow and Hawk Girl.
Well, they said they were going to seed him
somewhere.
They haven't
been very...
I think it is Flash, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's uncertain at this time.
But what something they'd actually said about Hawkman's origin was he was going to be... It's going to have to do with with some sort of artifact he finds.
Horus. Well, it's going to have to do with Horus, the Egyptian god.
Right. I thought it was an artifact kind of situation, and there was a doctor involved. So that's what I'm wondering if this is...
Yeah, probably.
This guy's are in there.
It
sounded like he kind of runs Indiana Jones and comes away with
swag. The St. Roche University is where Carter Hall worked in the comics.
So, right.
Yeah. Well, it'll probably be an artifact. Some sort of magic shit. I don't know.
We're going there. There's going to be magic, mysticism.
If, Yeah, if they go along with the comics, in season two of Legends of Tomorrow, Hawkman and Hawkgirl's origins will be completely different than they were in season one. And then in season three, it'll just go way out the side door, batshit crazy.
Space cop style?
That's what I was hoping for the entire time, space cop stuff.
I don't think they can afford space cop, though. That's the only version of it that ever made sense.
That was the only version of it that ever made sense to me. I hated the Egyptian god shit. I was just like, no, space cop.
I'm good with that.
Space cop. Space cop.
Yeah, I mean, space cop's better. And you already have, Teth and them. You've already got an entire Shazam history that you can go back to Egypt with. So why not spread the love?
Look, man, if you want to bring in, say that, there's been untold number of stories about how the ancient Egyptians may have been visited by, extraterrestrials, and that's how they did the things they did. Just make them the Thanagarians.
Easy peasy, man. Over.
Yep.
I could dig it. But I've never really resented it, because I do. I have like a soft spot in my heart for the Egyptian, the mythology there. I don't know. I've always like really enjoyed the Isis Osiris kind of story. Mm. So no matter how many people they've shoved in there, I've always thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my fault. I acknowledge that.
To some degree, I've always felt about those things the same as I have felt about Ra's al Ghul. I'm just like,
bad.
It gets real tedious real quick for me.
Yeah, I agree. That's what happens when you go too far into Greek mythology for me. It turns into a maelstrom of bestiality and.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same. It's the same way I feel about Wonder Woman's heritage. I'm just like, I don't care.
Who
I don't
gave
care
what
Hippolyta.
Now? Why does the wait? Who's the pretty one? Okay, so she gave her beauty. Okay, but she's the pretty one too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is that one a swan?
Who's the redhead? Oh, that's Artemis. Okay, cool.
Okay, so she's the pretty one. No, that's the other. Damn it! Who gave her the sword? No one. Ah, damn it.
Yeah. So, if you'll recall, last week, Mark Guggenheim posted a picture of a Newstime magazine with platinum on the cover. They thought that this might be an indication or a hint that the metal men would show up in Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But Guggenheim is saying, nope, it's just an Easter egg for the fictional magazine Newstime, which is in the DC universe.
Nah.
It has nothing to do with the metal men. So everyone, cool your fanboy boners. Metal men is probably not happening.
That's okay. Gods and Monsters just did a pretty good job with them. I'm good for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stephen Amell on Arrow, he is saying on the Arrow flashbacks, he says, I'll tell you, the flashbacks are probably one of the more secretive aspects of the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot I can talk about with respect to the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. I will say that Amanda Waller will be making an appearance in 401. So that's a bit of new information. So I'm hoping that the flashbacks will be a little more interesting this year.
And
based on that,
someone said that it wasn't Russia.
I didn't see that.
I'm sorry. I wish I had a citation on this one. I briefly ran across what I thought was someone saying it's not going to be Russia. The internet's kind of wrong about that.
I don't know, but
that's as far as I was willing to go with it. Because I distrust all information at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
We're a few days from the premiere of the season. They're going to throw anything against the wall they can. Just to mess with you.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you think might happen. As long as you get there and watch the first episode, you're likely to watch the second episode and so on. So, they don't really care how you got it, Derek Dinn.
So, Stephen Amell released a picture of himself and Grant Gustin in suits with the caption, game-changing scenes are fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm going funeral.
I'm hoping funeral.
That looked like funeral garb.
I'm hoping funeral, but it didn't look like wedding garb, for one thing.
No. No, there's no color to it. It's blacks and whites.
So, I'm hoping it's funeral.
And they should be close to... They're probably filming, like, the mid-season... Last couple of episodes of mid-season right now, right?
I think they're in...
They should be
I think
in the
they're
teens.
Doing...
They should be almost to the teens, like somewhere in the 10-11 area.
No, I think they're wrapping up, like, episode 7.
Only 7?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Whale.
Actually, I think they're about to shoot episode... Yeah, I think they're about to shoot episode 7 because I didn't mention it. I wasn't going to mention it, but Guggenheim posted a picture of the episode 7 script cover.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Which is called Brotherhood.
Oh, that should be good.
So, yeah.
What do you bet that's a Diggle Bromance thing? What do you think?
Probably so, yeah. I would assume.
That's going to be pretty. Oh, maybe it is actually about Diggle's brother. Maybe we're going to go back for Hive finally. Talk about that.
I did consider that as well, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Might be Andy.
The what?
Yeah, it might be Andy.
Yeah.
We'll Andy Diggle. So, did you see that?
It'd be a welcome
episode. Did you see that Jim Gordon and Leslie Tompkins are going to have a kid?
No, I didn't.
Well, not on the show anyway. But apparently, Marina Baccarin and Ben McKenzie are together, and they are officially expecting their first child.
I didn't know any of that.
I know. I didn't either. Like, apparently, like, the news that they were expecting their first child together came out, like, they were just like, oh, and by the way, they're dating. Like, I haven't seen anything about that. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is a little weird. I don't know why. Although that may ruin your dream of her and Pertwee hooking up.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do for the show, but...
Right, I mean, they're all professionals here. You know, they know they can hop over, but will they?
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is, I mean, they got her in that lingerie in the first episode. I can't foresee a whole lot more of that happening now.
Yeah.
They're gonna going to be hiding baby.
Did it say how far along she was? Because that is going to affect filming and how the story goes this year a little bit.
Well, I don't know. If they've been dating for a while, you know, a lot of couples don't announce it for a while and then because they want to be sure. And, I don't know, maybe she's kind of far along. Who knows?
That'd be fine.
It might. The bulk of it may, and I do mean the bulk of it, may actually happen, second half of the season. So,
yeah.
I mean, we've seen this done before, but it never fools me.
I really wouldn't mind if they actually, like, brought a kid into that situation in the show.
It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Use it.
It'd be kind of fun. There's your James Gordon Jr.
Yeah. You're going to see season 3, or it's just going to be a child with the blackest eyes you've ever seen.
Mm. So, there's a bit of casting news on Gotham. Raul Castillo of the HBO dramatic comedy Looking is going to be on Gotham as Eduardo Flamingo in the 9th episode of Gotham. He is going to be an assassin. It says he will arrive in truly flamboyant style. He comes armed with a spiked chain. He also has a strong appetite for flesh. He also likes to rock out to the Reverend Horton Heat, Jen Gillette, and the Polecats as he represents himself as Gotham's first rockabilly assassin.
Oh, that's terrible. So,
no hope, I say. No hope of getting away from this freaking cartoon shit.
Yeah, you say freaking cartoon shit, and I say really entertaining sidebars. Like, I don't resent Zardon. Me and him are cool. I thought that was hilarious.
It was hilarious. But we on a review, you said it was bad. It was so bad.
It was patently poor, but it made me laugh, and I have to give it that.
Okay.
It qualified squarely as entertainment.
Now, Bruno Heller, by the way,
does he not sound like a rejected idea for Lobo?
He does. He sounds like the person who would have created Lobo or something.
It's like a version of Lobo before Neil Adams looked at it and went, oh, come on, kid. Let me show you some things.
Now, yeah, Bruno Heller has said, Court of Owls, we are absolutely going to explore that world down the line. Looking at the longevity of the show, we have to hold some cards back. Mm-hmm. We can't just throw out all of the elements, all of the story at once. The long arc of the show is Bruce Wayne's journey of discovery down into the depths of the physical and metaphysical world of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
The Court of Owls is a brilliant conceit that will absolutely, absolutely be part of our storytelling. I just won't tell you when.
Mm-hmm.
So, called it.
Yeah, I kind of wish we had a called it song, but we don't.
We don't have a called it song.
We'll just have to be, you know, openly proud anyway.
We're just going to have to take this, you know, 5-6 seconds of our podcast to sound like the comic book versions of Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
As our listeners will remember, we called this, it was probably 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, ugh.
Yeah. Hurt to do, didn't it?
It did a little
feel dirty.
Bit.
Do you feel a little dirty?
Yeah, I do. I'm not used to being that conceited.
I know. And I've lost the agility to pat myself on the back, so we're going to be short that sound effect as well.
All right. So that's our news for the week. Did you have anything else?
Nah, man. I mean, you're voting Funeral on that ML and Gustin pick too, right?
I'm definitely voting Funeral, man.
Did you want to go one further and try to vote who they're...
It's hard to say because it is hard to say to me because Barry is there, but I'm going to say it's either Ronnie Raymond or Quentin Lance.
That's a tough call. And you have to find which character is, which character exists between the shows pretty well.
Well, importantly, Barry does know Quentin Lance.
He does. He does. I briefly wondered if it would be a flashback to a scene of Eddie's funeral.
It might be Eddie's funeral. That's a good call. I hadn't considered that. But he says it's a game-changing scene, so...
Yeah, but Amel is kind of a dick that way sometimes, so...
Yeah, but, that game changed already. We know.
Yeah. We don't think it's Felicity, though, right? Too early.
I don't think it's Felicity.
Wait.
Yet.
Now, if she goes out, you've seen the one shot in the promo where she's got that's an SMG or some shit machine gun she's got.
Yeah.
Just
spraying prey, man.
Spraying. It's great. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It's I was so proud. Made me laugh. It was wonderful. If she goes out all Scarface style like that, I'll take it.
I'm not sure I will, but I mean, I'll take it, but I'm not sure I'll be happy about it.
I won't be happy about it in any case. One, but at least that's like, going to be wow. Didn't see that coming.
At this juncture, like there are any number of characters that I would be happy to see go.
Quentin Lance near the top of your list.
Felicity is not really one of those, but you know, if they shuffle her off into the darkness, I hope that they actually give her a good farewell, that she actually, you know, does something well or does something the right way, and you know that it means something.
No, it'll definitely, if it's her they get rid of, it'll definitely mean something. See, I don't think they will get rid of her though, just because she's too useful for telling certain parts of the story. Plus, if you kill her, it's like turning the last light off in a room. But it's going to be a completely dark show at that point.
But Quentin Lance, if they kill him, it's like turning a light on.
Right.
So, you know, hoping for that.
Finally, take a towel and undampen your face and look around a bright room.
Yeah. All right, we're going to jump over to some fan feedback.
Maybe it's a funeral for Quentin Lance's American accent. That would be a game changer.
It might be a funeral for Quentin Lance's relevance on the show.
That happened somewhere in season two, man. It wasn't a big scene, but it happened, I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to jump over to fan feedback, I guess. A few weeks ago, I said at the top of one of our news episodes that I wanted to bring the phrase jive turkey back into the mainstream lexicon. Mm-hmm. And then our friend Brandon wanted to bring back the word daddy-o. And Jason then retorted, and I believe it was somewhat sarcastic, that he wanted to bring back nothing doing.
Right.
Was it actually sarcastic?
No. I've been using that phrase regularly as a kind of social experiment.
Fair enough. You actually have. I've seen you do it. But yeah. I didn't know if it occurred to you after. My girlfriend Bethany Johnson wanted to let us know that she wants to bring back Give 'Em What For, but she does note that one must shake their fist in the air while saying it.
I imagined her doing that, actually, when you said that.
She did.
Yeah.
So
I don't know any other way to do that. Problem is, there's not a good emoji for put your hand in the air.
I mean, we can... They have an emoji for poop. They can figure it out.
I don't know. I'm afraid it's gonna look like all Heil Hitler if they try. It's going to look weird.
No, Heil Hitler's a hand not fisted, so...
I'm just afraid you're not going to be able to get the definition you need out of the arm. That'll be hammed up pretty
quickly. I don't know, man. I'm in support.
I do completely agree with her that you can't, short of some strange circumstances, it makes no sense to say give them what for without balling a fist at someone.
Oh, yeah, you gotta ball a fist, man. I'm also a huge fan of the phrase, I'm going to box your ears.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
boxing your ears, that's a fun.
Yeah, if I have success with nothing doing, I'm going back for nothing could be simpler.
Oh, well, let's do that then.
Yeah,
everyone.
Not?
Let's bring back the language of our ancestors, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the, you know, language of everyone's old racist grandfather, probably, but whatever. Some good phrases came out there.
Yeah.
We can keep that part.
Now, over to our Gotham premiere episode, our review of the first episode. Dawn Elizabeth Murray on Facebook says, I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed with the season premiere.
Sure.
And, you know, we were to some degree, but, you know, there was some good stuff in there.
There was.
And Joshua Laverty says, and Stephen Trudeau both agree that they thought that Cameron Monaghan did a good job being Joker.
I'm with them.
They don't seem to at all have any, neither one of them actually seem to think that there is any question that he's the Joker. Joshua says, no doubt that's who he is with the personality. And Steven says he was the Joker. He did a good job being Joker. So they're not really necessarily buying this proto Joker. I sense.
I'm not going to completely buy it myself until I've seen it, but, I don't know. I am still leaning towards it. And you can't tell with time frames here. You can't tell with, who could be whom. Because look at the age difference on it. What do you say this Jerome kid is? About 17, 18? Do they say at some point?
He looks like he's about 18.
About 18?
19 years old, maybe. He's 17. I doubt he's underage. I think he'd have to be 18 or 19, yeah.
Young adult, technically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Bruce is probably early 13 in the show. Well, you know, if Jerome had a kid, you know, you could see Batman fighting a 13-year-old, a Joker that's got 13 less years on him. And you could also see him fighting, you know, a Jerome that's got 5 years on him.
Sure. I've never even really considered their ages, I don't think.
Well, I'm only using it as a starting point because even in the timeless realm that is Gotham, there still has to be some, it has to be, I don't know, it's got to be a kind of a fair fight. And surely they're going to be relatively evenly matched as far as age. They won't play on screen as though there is a difference in their age. Which
right.
means that anything within the range right now, like if Jerome had a kid somewhere in the next year, that could easily be the one. If he took up anyone if he finds like an 8-year-old somewhere and starts mentoring him, I'm going to use that term very loosely. It could be him. There's no reason it has to necessarily, I guess, be Jerome. And the producers have been very cagey about what they're up to, and pre-embryonic Joker was the actual phrase they used, which, man, if anything says this is the guy that donates sperm to the Joker, that phrase does it. I don't know. I completely agree with him knowing how he's playing it. I'm just not entirely sure we're quite seeing the man himself yet.
Yeah, I swear, man. If Bruno Heller's big plan is to just have Jerome go in and taint a Gotham sperm bank at some point, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed.
Mm.
Like, oh, yeah, I mean, sure, that's something the Joker would do.
Yeah.
But
there's very little you can imagine that he wouldn't do. I mean, we're talking about a guy who once tried to get a patent for a fish with a smile on it.
Mm.
All of his craftiness and worldly ways, and he didn't know how a patent office worked.
Right.
That poor clerk. God.
I like the Joker fish story.
It's timeless.
Mike Woodard left us a note. He says, "Hey guys, this is Charles McFall's producer over at the Giant Size Team Up Network. You guys do good work. I love the show." So
they do too,
that was really
way.
Nice.
Oh. They do too, by the way.
Who does too?
They're the good work over there. The producer side, part,
yeah.
In particular, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man. So I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be a jerk about this comment. I don't know how to answer it. Grant Robinson, in reference to Gotham, says, "When is it on Channel 5?" And I felt like I didn't want to leave him hanging, but I don't know how to answer that question because
I don't know
what Channel 5 is.
Yeah, I
don't know where he is.
This is where we get completely lost because Channel 5, I'm pretty sure, is reference to a British broadcasting term.
Is it?
I think so. I think that's a UK situation over there, which means I cannot help in any capacity.
Well, I mean, I understand the concept, you know, I've known people who are just like, oh, when does that come on channel 20? And that's here, and I'm like,
I don't know. What? Yeah,
Well, which one's Fox? Is that channel 20? I don't know.
I wanted to help, but
There was no way.
And it seemed very urgent. I understand the urgency because he put two question marks.
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to help, but we were impotent.
Yeah.
Incompetent.
So Jacob Raspberry, one of the guys I do the entertainment roundtable with, says that he could totally see Nathan Fillion as Booster Gold.
Sure.
And it's basically he says it's basically the same.
A blind man could see Nathan Fillion as Booster Gold.
Yeah. He says it's basically the same as Captain Hammer.
Right.
From Dr. Horrible Sing Along blog. And he also says that he would totally watch it if Alan Tudyk was Skeets.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, we got that another was, guy in our corner.
It's a man after my own heart right there. We ran into this problem, though. When we were doing our, like, fantasy cast of like, mm-hmm. okay, well, Aphelia did Booster Gold. That was an idea I had, too. It was like, well, Tudyk has to be Skeets. There's no getting around that.
Yeah. That's tough.
Because, and I'll say this. Outside of Tudyk being Skeets for Fillion, there's no world in which I don't want Billy West to be Skeets. But, hey, Raven the Bolt's
right.
me.
Right.
Then we ran into, though, very quickly, like, who the hell would be Ted Kord?
Yeah, in that reality, who would be Ted Kord?
Yeah, I mean, out of the, like, Whedon, especially the Firefly realm, there wasn't really much to deal with. I mean, I don't think Baldwin can pull off Ted Kord.
No, but Sean Mayer might.
Sean Mayer might, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough.
He tends to get...
It's a tough world we live in.
Yeah. Every time I've seen him, he tends to get killed relatively quickly. He doesn't have a lot of, like, long-lasting gigs anywhere right now.
Yeah.
Now at some point, I suggested, like, we could go completely the other direction with it and have it be... I forget the woman that played Zoe, but... her name. She's doing a great job on Suits, too, and I still forgot her name. Use her instead and let it be, like, Ted Kord's wife or something.
That would be weird. I don't think I could do that with a Tudyk booster.
It'd be a little
or
too
a Tudyk
much for
Skeets.
You.
Yeah, that might be too much.
The Intercross.
That'd be weird. That'd be weird. Now, last week we did our Flash Season 2 What to Expect episode, and we got into a little bit of conjecture. And we were talking about how it'd be a missed opportunity if they didn't bring in the 90s Flash to some big degree and actually make it canon. We received a couple of different messages from Scott Madison, I think his name is, or Mattson. He says they're missing, and this is, listen closely, this is amazing. He says they're missing a huge opportunity if they don't do the following. By the way, major balls on this dude. He's just like, nope, this is the script. This is how it's got to go. And I can't disagree with him.
Wrote it in script form. I saw that. And yeah, good job.
Season 2 finale, after the defeat of Zoom, Barry is hurled into an alternate reality where he gazes about to see a perfect recreation of the 1990 Flash series Central City, full of neon art deco and old-school style cars. Still confused, he hears what we recognize as the speed sound from that show and looks up to see the Flash. CW Flash says, "Who are you?" 90s Flash says, "Who are you?" CW Flash removes his mask. "I'm Barry Allen." 90s Flash says, "That's impossible. I am Barry Allen," and removes his mask to reveal John Wesley Shipp. CW Flash says, "Dad?" Credits.
See you next season, bitches.
Now, I mean, we did respond privately. We did respond privately to that. I mean, we pretty much saw it at the same time. We're both admins on the Facebook page. We basically just called each other and giggled wildly about this for
several
minutes.
Fucking great is what it did. There's like, only
how
one
can we get this dude?
There was only one alteration I wanted to make to it because there's a lot of stuff I want to do. Is like I just want to write the rest of the next episode after that. But I can't go down fanfic hole right now.
Hole. It's very similar to the Flash hole, by the way.
It is. Lots of things come out of it, and they don't mean
it's
anything.
It's the gigantic singularity hovering over our lives as opposed to Central City.
Right. Just as dangerous. Next thing I know, you're drawing pictures of Bender and Amy having sex, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd not, but hey, okay.
But they're out there, so someone made it that far down the hole.
Yeah, someone. Someone. Wink.
Not I. I'd know.
I've seen your sketches of naked Leela.
Those were private. Now the one alteration I wanted to make to it was that, and this is because we've been trying diligently to watch the Flash 90s series, which is, as we've explained, kind of terrible. But
all
something that happens
things.
With it is, see, in his scene, Barry Allen, our Barry, well, young Barry is the one that actually pulls his mask off first. I don't think it would go down that way exactly. Just take that one part and reverse it, because I think it would be him.
Yeah.
I think it would be this, the 90s Flash guy, because, man, I'm about halfway, or I'm a little over halfway through it, which actually makes me very proud, because this has been hard. But he just demasks himself at every opportunity.
He does.
Every three episodes, he starts to say, like, oh, man, it's really great to not need the mask. And a couple of occasions, someone stopped him. Whoa, don't take that off. Don't take that off. I don't need to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah. It's like he sees a supervillain. He goes, hello, Fred, and takes off his mask. My dad hates me.
Right. I think there's a chance that it would be, I guess in that scene, it would be, you know, who are you? Well, who are you? And then 90s Flash just reflexively pulls his mask off. I'm Barry Allen. Well, I'm Barry Allen. Dad's, you know, you just reverse the reveal on it. But
yeah. Now, I believe you told me last night you were willing to offer Scott something.
Oh, yeah. I remember there being a $50 bet, but shoot.
Yeah.
You remember better than I do at this point. I had a long night.
I believe you said that you were going to give, you'll just give him 50 bucks if they actually do that scene.
Oh, that's right. That was right. This is a 50 to $0 bet. This is literally free money. I will send this man $50 if he's right and they do that. Period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing on the table. No stakes whatsoever. Which,
our Facebook page is proof, so he might, you know, just forego the $50 or use the $50 to try to retain a lawyer.
That's it. Yeah, just take the $50 and apply it towards some sort of copyright law.
Yeah. Now the same guy, Scott Madsen, he actually also dropped us a private line. He said very nice things about our podcast, so thank you for the nice words. Feels a little dirty to actually just, you know, say all the nice things, if that makes any sense. I don't know why, but it does.
It just feels awkward, but we appreciate the fuck out of him. Thank you.
Yeah, says some very nice things about the show and us, and he says, in reference to the What to Expect Flash episode, he says, with the solid Quantum Leap mention from the Flash What to Expect episode, I'm going to have to drop a mention of you on my Quantum Leap podcast.
Ooh.
Not a joke. One of my four podcasts is actually a Quantum Leap show.
Hell yeah, buddy.
So, you know what? I mean, we talked a little more with this guy. This thing is called, his Quantum Leap show is not out yet. It's called Remote Patrol. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a part of the Simply Syndicated Podcast Network. If you guys want to keep up with that, you can go to simplysyndicated.com. He's got four different shows. He has Simply Syndicated Movie News, which actually starts about, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard on Saturdays. They record live, and you can go into the chat room. And coming soon is going to be Remote Patrol, Oh Boy, which is the Quantum Leap podcast. They've got White Star 5, which is a Babylon 5 show, which is coming back soon, and the Tilting at Windmills podcast, which is a solo show that's apparently coming soon. So keep an eye out on that guy. He seems to have a really good grasp on, well, just the kind of shit we'd love to see in these types of shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scott, thank you very much for the mention on your podcast, and you'll also be able to find him. We're going to put up a link in our Friends of the Show section on DCOnScreen.com.
Sure. Oh yeah.
We actually also might have him on an episode in the future. Apparently, he's expressed interest in being a guest on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I got no problem. I don't know what else to tell you though. We have no real plan.
We have no real plans. We have no real plan about that. We actually do hope to start bringing in guests in the future. Not for every episode, because I think, I just like our chemistry, just us. But, you know, I wouldn't at all mind, and would actually like to have a third party pop in every now and again. Be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm surprised we made it through the summer without guests of any kind, but.
Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised that we haven't had a Matt Carroll pop in, or
yeah, like Matt and Jeff should have been over at this point by now, but we never got around to it, because, again, we're terrible.
Yeah, well, it's not because we're terrible. It's like Matt is incredibly busy. Matt has not, like, they, Matt Carroll over the Cinematic Universe podcast that we mention every week at the end of the show, they've actually been a little staggered in their release of their show because Matt's got like four or five bands, mm-hmm. and a couple of them have kind of blown up in a good way, like in like locally, and well, I guess I should say in the tri-state area,
right.
from what he tells me. But yeah, he's just been seriously busy. So yeah, it's been tough going trying to get something together with those guys over because we would love to guest over the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast as well, as we love Marvel as well. Mm-hmm. But anyway. I think that's going to wrap it up for this show. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nah, man. No. We got pretty far around.
We did. God, there's so much stuff coming up in the coming weeks. What the hell do we have? We have the 90s Flash review, which, oh my God.
Yeah, and
we are going to rip that apart.
I've already told you this. It's kind of so obviously bad that it's almost not... God, it feels like trying to punch a kid with glasses.
Oh, I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that.
I went there instead. I don't know why. Maybe
I was thinking it was. I was thinking it was. It's gonna be like, you know, I don't know, going to the Special Olympics and throwing rocks. I don't know. It's bad.
Nothing near that. Nothing near that grand, really. It's not necessary. It's a poorly done show, which is a damn shame because there are a couple parts that are actually a lot of fun about it, but it is a poorly, poorly executed show.
It is
many a level.
I'm not one who criticizes the show for its lack of special effects. I mean, I'm an old school Star Trek man fan.
We're Doctor Who fans.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Point
that's
point taken, right?
I mean, hope so. I hope.
Clearly, we're not going to give you too much shit if the story's good.
I mean, hell, I'm a Quantum Leap fan. I mean, they
grew up on that shit.
They were known for their special effects.
Stuff aired at 4 o'clock every day on Sci-Fi Channel, and so help me God, I was sitting there at 4 o'clock every day on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Watching my syndicated little heart off.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it's not even the 80s aesthetic, because, I mean, as previously mentioned, Quantum Leap. You have a guy with a light-up Christmas tie every episode, pretty much. I mean, this guy looks like the jackass who comes to the office Christmas party.
Yep, already drunk.
But yeah, so there are some problems with The Flash. We'll get into that later. And of course, you know, we have a lot of new shows coming up, a lot of new season premieres and stuff to talk about, some what to expect to get in there. And we're gonna be busy for a while.
Yeah, we're getting into the part where it's free sailing. The winds are high.
Like I'm going Cool Hand Luke on this shit. Like I'll be prepping for one of these shows and just kind of look over and take off my first shirt and go, "Taking it off, you boss." There's no boss. But I swear to God, I hear someone go, "Take it off, dear drag line."
Mm-hmm.
My only fear is that we'll have a problem with communicating.
No, that's actually probably a person that hides in your home, sleeps there. It actually happened to some guy in Japan. It was really creepy. A little girl lived
really?
In a closet in his house for a year.
Oh my God.
He kept noticing shit was a little bit different every now and then, but thought it was crazy. And eventually he actually installed cameras and took a look. And he's like sitting in a room watching the footage and realizes that she's in a closet. And then he kind of realized, oh crap, and I'm in this house right now. It was like the classic, you know, the call is coming from inside your home. But yeah, that shit actually happened to someone. To a real human.
That is terrifying.
Well, he did her some good, though. She was homeless, and she kind of wandered in and realized if she just stayed in the closet, she could eat.
Wow. So she was just a little girl. It was just a little girl.
Yeah, I think it was like a teenage girl or something.
Okay. Well, you have to think, like,
experienced at least one birthday during the time she was there.
Oh, jeez. You'd have to think, though, like if it was like a...
to the closet for that little candle.
If the girl was young enough, watching that footage had to be like watching, like, The Ring or some shit.
That's what happened to me.
Like,
I was...
It's just like, oh...
Felt like somewhere between The Ring and Paranormal Activity. Either way, I know this. I don't care where I am in my home. If there's a window, I'm diving the fuck out of that window. Second floor, over pavement, I don't care. I'm just going to run towards the window and go, and dive. And
run. If it's in your home, someone's got some explaining to do. you have a dog. You have a dog who, as we've experienced today, trying to record this podcast, will literally bark at nothing.
Oh yeah, that would never happen.
If you had a little girl in your house,
not a pet owner. or he paid no attention to what his animals were up to. They're just always sniffing, man. This one cabinet, and he thought they were absolutely the dumbest beasts he's ever owned. Why are they always sniffing that cabinet? It's weird.
Oh, man. We got to wrap this up.
So badly. We need to wrap this up.
Thank you for listening. We are DC On Screen. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher and DCOnScreen.com. If you are so inclined to check out the Marvel, I don't know, movies, TV shows, all those Marvel stuff they have out. Well, our buddies Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall.
The Marvel equivalent of what we do. If it got on a screen, they'll try to cover it.
Yep. Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast, MCUcast.com. We are a part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. And we will see you guys next week. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.